The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private. Trusted experts in orthopedic, spine, eye, cancer and cardiology.
This is News Talk.
Danny McConnell, the stress is getting to be. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Political editor of the Irish Examiner, of course. Danny, this is difficult for government. And they painted themselves into a corner. Well, Leo Varadkar kind of conveniently handed them the paint. But they have to do something. And they have to balance a lot of things here. Can you understand why it has taken time and why they didn't make a decision over the weekend that arguably added to the anxiety?
Well, the way I look at this, Jonathan, is that NPHET obviously came out 2 weeks ago with their warning, their shock warning to move to level 5. And, you know, at that stage, it was very clear either NPHET were going to be proved right or government was going to be proved right as to the approach being taken. You know, the Good Friday Agreement was often referred to as Sunningdale for slow learners. This is turning out, you know, as lockdown for slow Leos, you know, because clearly we're going to the place that NPHET said we should have gone to 2 weeks ago. Over this weekend, I think what they've clearly been trying to do is soften the ground and kind of acclimatise everybody to the prospect of moving up levels. Now, I do accept the government's argument that, you know, it's not an easy thing to jump from level 2 to level 3 because there's, you know, a significant level of restrictions inherent in that. I think it's less of a deal to jump to level 4. I think, you know, the restrictions are pretty much all in. There's just a sort of tightening of those. But getting to that top level, level 5 lockdown scenario, which we might not go all the way to level 5, say we might go to a level 4 plus is sort of the soundings we're getting overnight.
But Danny, hang on. There is no point in even talking about level 2, 3, 4 and 5 if they're not going to be applied. What we have is a unique set of circumstances where they have to make a call. And is it the fact that the government introduced levels that clearly do not bear resemblance to our current reality that's adding to the anxiety?
Well, I think, you know, the government, you know, introduced this 5-level plan in order to bring clarity and certainty to people. And, you know, more than once now, the government has departed from its own framework. So, of course, there's confusion. And, of course, they're open to the criticisms that you're articulating there. And I would have thought, you know, if you're bringing in a level 3 or level 4 or level 5, whatever it is, you keep it as a pure level 3, level 4, level 5, because all this add-on or, you know, mixing or hybrid sort of levels that they're looking at confuse people, because you kind of go, well, is that included? Is that, can I go to see my mum? Can I go see my dad? Can I go to the shops? Can I get my hair cut? You know, all the sort of normal questions you kind of ask about your daily life, you know what I mean? There's a lot of confusion. And people, quite for rightly or wrongly, don't have the wherewithal, interest, or have, you know, the capacity to kind of look into the minute detail of pages and pages of government dossiers. So, you know, the plan needs to be simple. If it's going to work and have public buy-in, it needs to be simple. And that's what I think, there's a danger now of prolonging this and then also bringing in, you know, something that's not a strict adherence to level 4 or level 5. And the old adage is, Jonathan, when you're explaining, you're losing. You know what I mean? And yeah. I think the government the government has been in that space previously.
This is Jonathan Healy filling in for Pat Kenny on News Talk this morning, speaking to Danny McConnell of the Irish Examiner. Danny, the pressure that is on government is coming from different angles, though. And you can understand, and that text message I read out at the start that I disagreed with, about no business owners calling for lockdown, those pressures are leeching in. But I mean, whatever about the economic side, which the government will say they boxed off to a certain degree in the budget last week, the emotional side is a lot harder for them to deal with, the mental health issues, the domestic violence. And it was clear in the statement they issued yesterday that that was weighing on their mind.
It's, you know, the first wave of all of this, Jonathan, was much easier to get public support for. You know, when you're entering into lockdown for the first time, you know, there was a sense of public solidarity. We were all in this together, as that sort of hackneyed phrase went. But, you know, there are some businesses who have literally been closed since Leo Varadkar made his comments, you know, on the steps of Blair House back in March 16th or 17th or whatever the day it was, and haven't opened since and haven't traded since. There are plenty of other businesses who have traded, I won't say normally, but have traded well and have managed to kind of keep operating. So there is that split within the country. You've also had you know public servants who have continued to do the job, done fantastic work and all the rest of it, but their wages have been paid month on month without question. They're still getting their money. So that divide has opened up, and people are talking, almost blaming the media or blaming politicians for trying to open up this public versus private divide. Those divisions are emerging anyway, given
but
the length of the
Danny, it's pointless. There's no point in the world in having that discussion right now, because it's not the public sector's fault or the private sector's fault. It's the virus's fault. And the only way we can deal with this is through society realising that we are working in this together. There are impacts. Minimise those impacts as best you can. But saying you should all throw the teachers onto the PUP and see how well they like it, that's not going to prevent a single person from getting infected.
I take your point, but I'll also come back with you. If you're a business owner, small business owner that was forced to close in Dublin, and the scientific basis upon which Dublin was locked down 3-4 weeks ago was not exactly clear, you would have a legitimate grievance with decision making that was being taken, because there are certain industries, in my view, that have been unfairly targeted. I think the aviation sector has been unfairly targeted. I think the hospitality sector has been unfairly targeted, because without I think definitive evidence to say that all these cases were coming from pubs or restaurants or whatever like that, you've basically shut them down. Dublin is like a ghost town. You see it, it's been hollowed out left, right and centre. Some of the busiest and most prosperous streets in the country and in the city traditionally are now being hollowed out. And I think there's been a disproportionate impact on those. However, yeah. I take where you're coming from.
But listen, let's look at the cases that we know about of people who have spread the infection, and they go out and there were 6 or 7 households meeting up within the guidelines in the hospitality sector. It wasn't the pub or the restaurant's fault that group of 6 different households met up, but it did spread within those settings. That's how this thing spreads. It's not the hospitality sector's fault. Again, it's the virus's fault, and government has to make possibly a difficult decision that impacts those businesses.
Yeah, but also what we've seen is an inconsistency in terms of enforcement, because quite honestly, you know, as much as people have been gathering in those hospitality sectors previously when they were open, there was this massive increase of people gathering at homes when they shouldn't have been. You know, there were clearly house parties, and not just young people gathering in terms of house parties, but old people and, you know, people of all ages. You know, the cups of tea, the back gardens, the communions, the confirmations, all that sort of stuff. There clearly was a kind of a lack of adherence to the strict guidelines. You know, and people travelling all over the country. You know?
It was a perfect storm of club championships, communions, confirmations, and the weather starting to go slightly south that forced people indoors. It really was a cumulative effect rather than any one particular decision. I want to bring in Thomas Ryan, who is a Associate Professor in the School of Biochemistry and Immunology at Trinity College Dublin. Thomas, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, look, I think I'm taking my frustration out on Danny Tucker, but playing the man, not the ball. But I mean, I'm anxious, I'm frustrated, I'm angry this morning. I want to blame something or somebody. Government is probably top of the list, followed by young people. But realistically, should I be blaming any of them?
I think that, you know, we tend to find ourselves in these conversations where we're nickeling and diming about particular restrictions. What time should it have been brought into what county? What sectors? This sector's affected, this sector's not. The reality is nothing that we've been doing since July has been having a significant effect. So the problem is that our global strategy has not been working, and the measures that we've been putting in place haven't been taking control of this. We've got rapidly rising hospital admissions, ICU admissions, and deaths are starting to increase. So we need a change of strategy. I think the government are right to put in whole restrictions for the country. Whether level 4 will be enough is questionable. Whether there's a clear difference between level 4 and level 5, it's all becoming a bit vague with this level 4.4 plus and these between levels, which I do admit are confusing. But look, we need to change strategy. And what's missing from the whole discussion, and I think this is the major issue, is that there is no focus on an objective. There's no focus on what the result is. What are we aiming for? How many cases do we need to get this down to? And then, crucially, what do we need to keep them down so we don't end up in a third wave?
Tomás, we've spoken on News Talk before about this, and I know you are an advocate of zero COVID, if I'm not mistaken, and that would be fantastic. And we, you know, you're envious looking at rugby matches from New Zealand and Australia, where they've got full stadia again, and the virus has not just been suppressed, but has been eradicated. That's not workable here. We are on the doorstep of other countries where the situation has gotten rapidly worse over the course of the months. We are on the same trajectory as Spain and France and Britain. We can't change that. So if we can't get it to zero, we have to get it to something acceptable, surely, until such time as a vaccine emerges.
Jonathan, I was quite young back when we had a zero foot and mouth policy, but you probably remember it better than I do, and it worked.
I remember driving over the things in Dublin going, why am I driving over disinfectant in Dublin 4? But anyway.
And we had much more vocal unionist voices back then. Ian Paisley famously said that our people are British, but our cows are Irish. And that worked quite well on an all-Ireland basis. And I think that everybody agrees that whatever the strategy we're going to do, we need to do it on an all-Ireland basis. What's more, many of my colleagues in Britain, in England and Scotland are advocating for a zero COVID UK, but that's another discussion. The issue is that starting from here, whether we want to go for a zero COVID situation, which I personally think is optimal because it gives us the most benefit for slightly less effort to maintain it, or we go for suppression, which isn't discussed enough, but you know, we've talked a lot about opening up. There's been disturbing conversations in the past month about herd immunity, but whatever the center ground is suppression, getting down to where we were in June, July. Either way, starting from here, it's going to require heavy restrictions because we can't test and trace our way out of where we are now. But we do need a better test, trace, isolation infrastructure and public health support to keep cases low when we get them low, because you need to be able to suppress outbreaks when numbers are low, and then you can continue without a third.
But that comes back to the individual, Tomás. And this is the conversation that we have got individual judgment that in some cases is very solid and in other cases is questionable. And I don't know what they've done differently in Asia or whether they had taken individual responsibility more seriously over there, but that's where it all went wrong here. And I mentioned the list to Danny of the communions, the confirmations, the GAA club finals, you know, meeting the six different households in a restaurant or a pub, albeit within the guidelines that restaurant and pub had so desperately tried to enforce. The individual is the problem. And unless we can stop that, we're just going to be stuck in this terrible cycle.
The individual is one part of the equation. This is public health. Remember, this is about a community. So, you know, it's individuals and then it's the population. I think that some people could be behaving better, but I think that we distract ourselves when we focus on that particular aspect of the conversation. On the one hand, we seem to have very rigorous travel restrictions but into the country, but we know that's nonsense because they're not properly enforced. And individuals throughout the country can see that we don't have proper enforcement of overall our rules, and they don't take it seriously. And they're also not going to take it seriously when we don't have clear leadership that's taking us towards a direction. One of the reasons that New Zealand was successful is their leader, Jacinda Ardern, had a very defined end goal. And she brought them there, and she had the population's confidence.
Of all things they need to come out with today is that end goal. What are we going for? What can we focus on as a community that we can get this sense of communality back? That's what you're looking for later on. Tomás Ryan, I'll leave it there of Trinity. I want to go back to Danny McConnell just finally here on News Talk. Danny, what is the timeline today? I believe Tony Houlihan has gone back in for another chat with them, possibly to convince them of the merits of what he's trying to say. And then there's a cabinet meeting, is there?
Yes. So the several stages that are now in place have to take place. So Tony Holland will go back in for this cabinet subcommittee meeting. Basically, that smaller inner group of the cabinet have to meet and ultimately decide to get to a place of what recommendation will go to cabinet. It's very clear that an increase in restrictions will happen. A full cabinet meeting will happen later this afternoon, and then we're expecting a kind of a tea time announcement. So I'd say what they'd probably like to do is probably do it in the 6-1 news, as they have done. You know, the Taoiseach will probably give a State of the Nation address.
We call that the hard shoulder here on News Talk, but I know what you're trying to say.
Well, exactly. But in terms of, I was thinking with my television brain on. I think what they're liking to do is they want to do it kind of for the main evening news, drive time programs, etc., like that. And then there'll probably be a press conference thereafter. But I mean, what you'll know certainly by this evening exactly the length of the lockdown, what's involved, what sort of exactly restrictions are in place. But more importantly, Jonathan, is supposed to be there as well as what enforcement measures, additional enforcement measures will be there for the Gardaí to make sure that we all play by the rules.
I just really would like to say now, none of us are going to be surprised by what we see this evening. And can we limit the amount of hand-wringing that's going to go on, because whatever decisions are taken are deemed necessary, because collectively as a society, we couldn't do what we were being asked to do to now and are deferring to the government in some way so that we can blame them as opposed to blaming ourselves collectively, not individually. But for that, Danny, we thank you. Political editor with the Irish Examiner, Danny McConnell, thank you for joining us.